Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Katie, I'm here.
Oh, good. I did a different procedure there. Lovely tech. Okay, so I think we're being recorded, which would be great. And I want to welcome everybody to this call, to the Creativity Cafe, where we get to explore creativity in all its aspects, from designing your lifestyle, your work and business, to creating more beautiful and sustainable solutions to global challenges. And I'm Katie Curtin, and I'm hosting this cafe because creativity and helping creative change makers thrive and get their work out in the world is what I'm all about. And you can visit me at www.katiecurtin.com. And today's guest is Judy Katz, who will be talking on the topic of dancing with your shadow, discovering your hidden creative powers. And just a few words on Judy. Judy is a wonderful creative soul who I met at a coach's training workshop many years ago. And we really hit it off. And along with another coach friend, Sarah, we ate many meals together, and since then we've kept in touch. And quite a number of years ago, she showed me an earlier manuscript for the book she has just recently published, Beyond Your Shadow of Doubt, Your Shadows of Doubt, Ascend Out of Fear and Conflict into Confidence and Authentic Power. And even then, in its less polished form, it was absolutely fascinating, and I found it one of the most compelling reads about getting past your fear and doubts and creating the life of your dreams. You know, it's just a really, really interesting book and good to read. You know, it's like a, you're kind of following it, what happens next type of thing. So, which is always good in a book. So Judy lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and is the owner of Wealth Transformation Success Systems. She's coached small business owners and professionals in the USA, Europe, and Canada since 1997, earning from the International Coach Federation the highest designation as a certified master coach. And not only is Judy a master coach, she is also a master manifester. And through her own journey, which included time of deep despair and financial hardship, Judy found a method that can connect you with a magical place within that is a source of enormous creative power and energy and can help transform your life regardless of your past conditionings or current circumstances. So welcome, Judy.
Oh, wow. Katie, thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's I've been thinking about having you for a long time, and the publishing of your book was just the perfect reason. So I'm going to just actually explain a few words on the format for today's call, and then we'll come to the interview part, Judy. But first of all, I'll spend about 40 to 45 minutes talking about today's topic with Judy, and then open up the call for questions and discussions from you, our audience. And if you have your computer in front of you, I'd like to invite you to visit our Facebook page and just type Creativity Cafe in the search field of Facebook and click on the light button. And if you, if you'd like, introduce yourself and post questions and comments there as they come up. However, you're also welcome not to get distracted by Facebook and just sit and listen. And if you have questions at the end, you can always ask them on the call live too. So make yourself comfortable. Take a sip of your favorite brew while I welcome Judy. Once again. So, Judy, can you tell us first about the journey that led you to write your book?
The journey that led me to write my book is not a very pretty one.
Very interesting, though.
Which is, you know, it was absolutely the catalyst why that book exists now and why I know what I know and can do what I do for myself and for other people. Because I, you know, early numbers of years ago, I had the pleasure of living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And why I'm mentioning that is because I think Santa Fe was one of those places where, you know, the whole idea of creativity and you know, the use of the power of your mind and your inner power and spirituality was very much a part of that environment up there. And because of that, I was exposed to a lot of things that I don't think, had I been in a different place at a different time, I don't think I would have been exposed. And visualization and the whole idea of using the power of your mind and being clear about what you want, putting your focus and attention on it, the metaphysical aspects of life was just something that I was just fascinated by. And it's like something just clicked, a switch went off in me when I remember first learning about that and creating vision boards, you know, years and years and years ago. Something happened, and the magical world of business success in my life, which I enjoyed enormous amount of success, financial success. One of the things that took me out and put me into a 5-year dark night of the soul, which is what prompted this book to be written today, is that I went through a 5-year dark night of my soul where everything outside of me just fell away, and it all was triggered by, again, yet another failed marriage. And, you know, I used to say, Katie, well, how is it that I can be so successful in business and I am so lousy in relationships? And there was a part of me that became very apathetic about that idea of relationship, and I thought, well, at least I can be successful in business. Well, it all, the way we do one thing in life ends up carrying us through all parts of our lives, and really started my journey. But it took me 5 years to really discover why all these attempts of visualizing, and I certainly was a student of the law of attraction and understood that, and became part of religious circles that really ascribed to that and taught that. But it wasn't working for me, Katie.
And Judy, I'm just going to interrupt you a little bit, because from what I know of your story, for a while it really did work for you, didn't it?
It worked for me.
And quite marvelously. Or maybe I'm switching sequences, but at one point you would sell houses very, very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Those were, yes, in certain areas of my life, again, having to do with more business-related aspects, I used to design custom homes, and my, at the time, husband was a builder, and he built them, and we'd live in them for a couple of years, and then we'd sell them, and I'd always sell them in 30 days, and I would make those proclamations, you know, and I came out of a 20-year history of working in real estate-related fields and did out the whole gamut, so... You know, my friends thought I was pretty crazy at the time when I would say things like that, but I did. Yes, it was.
Which is quite incredible. I know. I don't know if there's anybody who's a real estate agent on the line, or even somebody who's tried to sell a house. To actually do it within 30 days is just like a miracle, and to be able to do it consistently, which you were able to do, was. Actually attested to your mastery of, even then, of manifesting. But things happened that, I guess, led you to a deeper level of how to do it when things fell apart.
Well, yes, things fell apart. And again, it was through the vehicle called relationship. You know, when love doesn't work well in your life, for me, that just took me out, because I wanted more than anything to have someone adore me and someone love me and to feel connected. And, you know, I can remember, Katie, sitting in my nice, cute little red Mercedes convertible on some beautiful, gorgeous-looking landscape, decked out in the nines. I could do anything I wanted to do, and I was so miserable because... Alone, I couldn't manifest a man in my life that loved and adored me. I had time after time of dealing with betrayals and abandonment and all the issues that I needed to, that were shadows that were hidden inside of me.
Yeah.
And it was through this time period in the dark night of my soul when I so very much just wanted to figure out, well, if I can just figure out how to get another business going, which if I can just figure out how to do that, and, you know, I wanted to just dismiss the idea of ever attracting my soulmate, but yet my heart wouldn't let me do that. And it just, it eluded me. And so much I discovered about why I couldn't be one of those lucky people with regard to relationship, to just be able to focus on what I wanted, to be clear, you know, to do all those things that we're taught to do, any of us that have been, you know, playing in this realm of creation for a while, deliberate creation. I just seemed to be like the oddball out. It's like, what's different? What's not working for me? And that's why this book exists today, Katie.
Thank goodness for your troubles and our profit, and eventually for yours. And actually, I mean, I've noticed that in my life. Sometimes I will pursue something like that I really, really want, and it seems the more I pursue it, the more I want it, it doesn't come. In fact, the opposite comes in. And so what keeps, and I think this, you know, I've noticed this with other people, it's what keeps, and I've got some theories about that myself and experience myself about what's behind it. But what would, from your experience, keeps bringing into people's lives relationships and situations they don't want?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And it's got a priceless answer. So I think the short version of answering that brilliant question, Katie, is that what keeps us from being able to have what we really want, and why we keep attracting the opposite, is because of the hidden shadow.
Yes.
Because of the hidden shadow. A, we're not aware of it, or B, now this is a good one, or B, if we are aware of it, we're not aware that we're resisting it. Which is even the bigger problem.
Yeah. And just on that, like, so let's say we're aware that we have these problems or fears, and you're saying that also the problem is that we're not aware we're resisting it. Maybe you can just talk a little bit more about that and why that's a problem.
Yes. Resistance is tricky. It's so tricky, and it's so insidious, and it's so pervasive, because it's natural, actually. It isn't something that we're doing. So I want to let everyone give themselves permission right now to just love themselves just even a little bit more than they might have before they first started hearing this, because this isn't anything that we do on purpose.
No.
Resistance, we have an inner resistance to change. We have this inner mechanism that wants to keep everything familiar and the same. And how many of us have heard about how difficult it can be to break a habit? If you've ever tried to break a habit, you're going to know what we're talking about here. No matter how big or how small the habit.
Yeah.
So the resistance is tricky, because sometimes, especially the resistance that sounds so logical.
Oh.
Resistance can use the knowledge that we've worked so hard to acquire and become so logical. Like, it can justify why we need to stay where we are. It does everything it can to keep us safe. It is the dominant power within us when it gets to take over.
And what might that sound like for somebody when their resistance being sounding so logical?
The resistance would sound like, well, if you don't think about what you're going to do about this, you'll never get what you want. You better get overly prepared, and you better put all your ducks in a row before you go out there, because after all, you know that people are going to pay attention and judge you and criticize you, because after all, it's happened before. You know what's happened before, so you better make sure you're really perfect and you've got it really right on before you go out there and you present your offerings to the world. There's one of mine.
Yeah, no, that's a huge one I've, you know, found with myself and clients, is just this absolute, even paralysis sometimes, of doing what you know is needed because of that inner fear.
Right. Katie, it took me 18 years to take my book off the shelf and have it be available for everyone today for that reason.
Yeah.
The cost is huge.
Yeah. And what led you to break through this?
I think because I am such a student and, you know, it's important for me to walk my talk.
Yeah.
And I am rigorous at working with my inner self. And over the years and through much support and much help and much encouragement from my friends and my colleagues and my fabulous mastermind partners that I share time with every week. I think because one of my wonderful partners had published her book, had written her book and published her book, and it inspired me. And it just, you know, and I knew this year that the bell rang, because that's the power of intention, I think, and even though I've held that intention for a very long time, I had a lot to confront when I came to the part where I was ready. I'm very vulnerable in my book. So that vulnerability was very important to be written. And it took what I had to go through to get the emotional capacity to be vulnerable and to be bigger than the shame that was holding me back.
Well, there's a few things that are really striking me there. First of all, I know, you know, there's a lot of us on the call who are who help the world in some ways make positive change, whether they be coaches or in the healing professions. And I think we're often really critical of ourselves because we're not able to walk the talk completely. It's a real journey. And sometimes that in itself is a way that we avoid getting out in the world, as we say, well, we're not perfect enough yet around that. So there's kind of a delicate balance between walking the talk and getting out there before you've actually mastered everything, so which probably will happen at the end of your life. But also you were talking, you know, this whole part, as long as, to me, it's as long as we're on the road of continually working on that issue, we can help people who are, you know, we can also help other people. They'll just be at a different spot. And but you talked about vulnerability, and that your book, and I think that's the case for many authors, that whether it's something where you're talking about your life or even as a novelist where you use stuff from your life, there's a great vulnerability about sharing some of your deepest stuff. How did you... And there's also, I mean, I know when I think about writing, you know, particular things about our family or whatever, there's also a delicate line between telling all and hurting other people or in some ways just, I don't know, getting more out there than you need to and sharing. And we had a conversation about that one day, and I thought it was very interesting. So I'd love your take on it. For the people who are listening.
Yes. You know, what you've just addressed, Katie, is the very thing that hit me. I want to address a couple of things. And one of the first things that you said was, how is it that we can be an example and walk our talk and not get caught into that resistance that says you have to be perfect before you can get out there and help people? And I think a real important distinction around that, because for me, when I say I'm walking my talk, that means that I am dancing with my shadow. And I dance with my shadow so I can go beyond my shadow.
Yes.
And so walking my talk is being in process of me going for my desire and dancing with my shadow and realizing my desire as a result.
Mm.
So it's not about I'm on the stage, I'm performing, and I did that shadow thing a long time ago, and now I'm done. And so here I am. It isn't life. It doesn't work like that. Not in my experience, and not in what I understand to be true about our soul's journey and our continual expansion. And I think that we're continually rising up into a vibrational place that's highest in us. That is love. And in this process, we surrender our human fears, our human, what it is to be in the human condition where we feel separate and apart from everyone else, given our manifested world. You know, everything's distinguished. I'm distinguished here in my body. You're distinguished in your body, et cetera. And so I think it's really important to recognize that when I say walk the talk, it doesn't mean I'm done and now I'm on stage performing.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a valuable distinction there. And actually, in your book, you talk about the reptilian part of our brains going into overdrive, and that can lead us to become sick, get into financial problems, and have difficult relationships. I think this is a key part to the fact that we can't often walk our talk, and I'd love you to explain this more and what we can do about it.
Oh, that's, boy, I know that one really well because...
Don't we all?
I had my foot on the accelerator of fear, and somehow, you know, in some of us especially, I think if we've had any kind of traumas in our early childhood, which I expose about, you know, and I would like to say... If I do say so myself, elegantly in my book, this is an elegant book of grace and experience and vulnerability. And I think for some of us, we get stuck in that hypervigilant part of our brain that just stays on red alert without realizing it because it's like always there. It's in the background. It's the landscape.
Yes.
And we might have, you know, sparks of happiness and sparks of fun and certainly. But at the end of the day, when one comes out of their comfort zone and then you start to grow, you start to feel those desires that are calling you and that make you restless and you feel it in your soul, you feel it in your gut, you feel it in your heart, you feel it in your body, because it's calling us forth, then that's going to send off a fire, a five alarm fire alert in our inside of our that reptilian part of our brain. It says, "Oh my gosh, she's going to die." We bet because it's just we're just kind of hypervigilant about it and. I think in some ways, because I actually had that, it made it all the more the reason for me to really dive in to find out how can I interrupt this? You know, how can I really, I call it the big kahuna of all the habit patterns that we have because that fight, flight, or freeze pattern, especially if it's something that is more chronic rather than just a trigger walking down the street, you know?
Exactly.
When it's something that's more of a chronic nature, and I think the fact that because it was chronic within me is why I was so, that part of me was so busy attracting all this stuff into my life so I could see, you know, I mean, everything wasn't working and there wasn't any distraction that I had in any area of my life because nothing was working. At the final breakthrough point.
Yeah, and actually, this brings up a point that I discovered. Like in our family, there was a great deal of trauma, past trauma, and my father was actually came over to England and then to Canada as a result of the Holocaust. So he didn't talk about it in our childhood, but it sure was there. And of course, my mother lived through the war, and there was this ongoing anxiety that was, you know, this fight or flight thing that was going on all the time. And I didn't even realize it, really. I mean, I was just used to it. Now, later on, I had a very traumatic thing happen to me. And I started doing some energy work and treatment on it. And it was then that I actually discovered, oh, you know, I actually got a lot more anxiety and stuff from previous stuff, and I actually realized that I'd been living with anxiety all my life. It just gone up a notch. So sometimes these kind of circumstances, like you're talking about, really, even though they're real catastrophes in many ways, they actually really help us look at our whole past life and clear out that old stuff that needs to be cleared to go to the next step.
I completely agree, and that was exactly my experience. And I kind of see it like the tip of an iceberg, which many of us have heard of this metaphor for many things before. But I think, you know, that catastrophic, the final straw is just like a small tip up on the top, but it goes so deep and so broad, and it just is a sweep of all, because it's all connected. It's all connected. It isn't like fragmented all over the place. It's all connected. And so releasing what might look like one small thing here is really within the parameters of our nervous system, of course.
Yes.
But, you know, I think that because of what I learned about how to dance with the shadows, I was so afraid to look at my inner life. But I had no choice because And I was blessed to be given, through my inner healing, inner healers, I had so much inner help to bring what I knew that I've written about in this book long before I ever had any formal training in it, before no one taught it to me. It came to me, and I explained this in the book, how it worked. And I think that was an important piece for me because I trusted it, and it worked. And it's timeless because we have a lot of words, and we have maybe different ways and methods in which to dance with a shadow, but one of the things that I think is really important is for people to have, especially in the beginning, to have an ability to have a guide and a way to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I'm wondering about, because you developed this in your book, you talk about the alchemy of the shadow, and you talk a lot about the shadow. How do we work with that shadow part of us, the part that we really fear and yet has the keys to basically our liberation, as you outline it in the book?
The thing that we have to first become is aware of what's going on. Usually we could take a look. There are a lot of clues. There's a lot of ways to get started. But I think awareness is the first key, and that is, you know, if you've got something that just isn't coming together the way you want it to, whether it be in your health or people can't lose weight, or it could be in your finances. Maybe your business isn't growing, or you just maybe bring in a lot of money, but it just doesn't seem to stay, which was always my issue. I could bring it in, but being able to keep it was the issue. Or it could be in relationships, you know, where you just can't attract the love of your life, or you have perhaps conflict, you know, with people in your life. So when you look in these particular poignant areas, which they're really about basic stuff in our life, about our survival, about being loved, and about our contribution in the world. And if any of those particular areas, there's some place that isn't working the way you want it to, that's the outer clue that there's something within you that is ready to be seen.
Mm.
And usually you'll find that, at least has been my experience.
Actually, can Judith,
yes.
Judy, can you just repeat that sentence once again? Because I think that is an extremely important sentence you've just said.
Oh, what did I just say? Okay, start me, Katie. I'm sorry.
Okay, the place or the outer clue.
Yes.
The indication that something within us is ready to
be seen.
Is ready to be seen.
It's ready to be seen.
That is, I find, really, really interesting. I'm going to think about that one because I think there's something really deep there. Exactly the problems that we see out in our life that we really don't want to deal with are exactly the things that are going to show us what's ready to be seen and to show us our next step in some ways.
Absolutely. It shows what needs to be seen inside of us, something that we've hidden away because at one point in time we decided that if we ever felt or processed the emotion of that, that mm-hmm. we wouldn't be able to, that we couldn't handle it, that we'd just die, you know, we'd disintegrate or something. And it's understandable that we have these things inside of us because, you know, we do a lot of growing and living and get exposed to a lot of things as little children.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's face it, you're 5 years old and something really bad happens to you and maybe you don't quite get the nurturing you need or you don't get protected the way you need to be protected and you just have to go into overwhelm. You go into some kind of fight or flight or freeze reaction and it just sort of stays frozen like that. And
yeah.
that becomes an emotion that you just can't go into. But the good news is that because our soul knows what's next for us to have us know our true authentic mm-hmm. power, I just think it's like that part of us just keeps drawing in circumstances and events and people. And I actually wrote a poem about this in my book. It's mm-hmm. called A Mirror in Your World.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll really move a lot of people, Katie,
yeah.
as this idea has moved you in hearing mm-hmm. this now, because it's so easy to want to manipulate the outer conditions or manipulate outer people's behaviors to conform in a way that to our standards, to our expectations, so we'll feel better.
Mm.
But if we do that, first of all, it doesn't work, and it's exhausting because it doesn't
yes.
work. And second of all, we miss the opportunity that life is giving us, that life is presenting us. We miss the opportunity to be able to shine light on something so that we can see it for what it really is. And it isn't that snake in the road, it's a rope.
Mm, mm. And I have to say I've discovered that so much both in my own life and in, you know, that of my clients is that some of these, for example, around money questions, whole loads of stuff comes up from the, when you actually look at why people aren't making money in their business or not getting out in their business. It's because they're scared and there's been some trauma or a series of traumas that make it totally unsafe to go out. And so by opening up that door and looking at that problem, which might be, you know, having enough finances in your life or keeping your money or making your money, then you get to actually explore all the questions of, you know, self-esteem and how you feel about yourself and just get rid of all that, you know,
right.
let go of all that stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Boy, money is quite the trigger, isn't it, Katie?
Oh, that's for sure. And I used to try and ignore money as much as possible. And life brought me that for it to be a very central portal for me to look at a whole load of things in my life and,
yes.
you know, also for my clients. So what are the two golden keys that allow us to access our creative genius within rather than just be on this permanent overdrive in our reptilian part of our brain and
right.
in fear?
the two golden keys, and it would actually represent the next couple of steps in Alchemy of the Shadow, because I mentioned you have to be aware of what's going on. So the two golden keys, though, the next one, and it's golden, it's priceless, it's a nugget. Everybody listen up, and it's going to maybe surprise you, maybe it isn't, but it makes all the difference in the world, and it's one of the hardest things to do, and that is acceptance. When we see these aspects of ourselves, it doesn't match an image that we probably created around ourselves. To overcompensate for or to cover up this little truth. And I have a term that I use, and I've introduced it in the book, but I've used it in my clients over the years, and I call this activity of fight or flight and all this behavior that we go into, these characters. These shadows are like little characters, you know? And I say that there's characters that are in the basement because it's dark and it's scary, and, you know, we go down there and we don't want to go too far in because we can't see real clear, and we imagine there's all these monsters in there, you know? So being able to accept a part of us that doesn't match the justified image we've created for ourselves, maybe without even realizing it, is why it's so key. Because that's where resistance wants to come in, and we want to resist our resistance.
So, and I would think, it sounds to me like this would be where we actually get into our addictions. When we're not accepting and when we're resisting, well, we'll just resist the fear and, you know, eat more or drink more or, you know, buy another course to make our business better or whatever our addictive activity is.
Shop more.
Shop more, yes.
I don't know why I said that. Oh, yes, I did that.
Yes,
you're exactly right. And Katie, you bring up a good point about the addictions, because one of the things that I have, I'm just infatuated with brain science and you know, neuroscience and the working of the brain. And one of the things that I become introduced to is the idea that our body actually becomes addicted to some of these emotions. For example, let's just choose worry. I'll just, you know, worry and doubt, okay? And so I actually had a breakthrough in this just the other night. I had discovered that I had all this, you know, the wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning stuff or 3:30 in the morning, and your mind is going horror, just crazy, and it could look like it's a really productive time, like, oh, I've got to do this, and, you know, the to-do lists are born at 3 a.m. in the morning, and recited over and over and over in a loop, right? And what I realized, and Katie, I have to thank you, because you're the one that came up with dancing with your shadows, find your creative power within. And I thank you so much for that, because I realized, you know, dancing with our shadows is why we go beyond them. Dancing with our shadows is why we go beyond them. And that's exactly what I bring people with Alchemy of the Shadow, is that I actually give you a way to dance with your shadow and to learn what you need to learn and to be able to release it. It's very powerful. But what I did was that I recognized, that back to the addiction, that our bodies, especially when we've been in this foot on the accelerator of fear for a long time, that our body gets used to it, and it's like a habit. We have a worry habit. But somehow by using the word addiction, it kind of, I was able to just set it apart, like there's something that is occurring outside of my conscious awareness. That my body is saying, brain, send me the chemicals so we can produce more worry. And I realized worry brings us those crazy thoughts so that it can keep us worrying.
Right. So it is an addiction. Yeah. Yeah.
It is an addiction. And I decided how fun it would be to dance with my shadow of worry.
Hmm.
And so I like to invite everybody that's listening to this call, who's live here today and who will eventually be listening to this, to think of some very, very difficult chronic emotion that just, you know, we could call it a mood, but it, I think it becomes more like an instrument, you know. It's just always kind of there. And think of that and call it by name. I'm using worry.
Mm-hmm.
And ask worry to dance. And I used to do ballroom dancing, Katie, and I loved dance. So I imagined that, you know, I was in this wonderful ballroom and I invited the shadow of worry to come to me. And I said, worry, how do you dance?
I love this.
If you can imagine a gyration of, you know, like if you were to put your palms straight out and just quick little short movements of just static, just crazy little frenzied movements, and you're just, your whole body is just, it kind of looks like maybe some of the rappers, how they look, you know, these and so I mirrored what I was seeing in my mind, and I was just doing that with, you know, in my mind. This is 3 a.m. in the morning, and I got very exhausted very quickly. And I said, oh, my gracious, worry, you are exhausting. Wow, what a dance that is. Phew. And I just released it.
Wow.
I had all this peace, Katie. I had all this peace. And it was at that point I was able to turn and choose the God, light, power of love for my power. Not worry as my power.
Wow. Well, worry has been a big thing in our family. My mother is the ultimate worrier. And I think in different ways I've picked that up. So I'm going to try that one myself. yeah, so many different things to go into. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to open up the floor. So anybody who, I do have many more questions, but I do want to give our listeners a chance to ask things. So I'm going to ask this question, which is, what do you think are the hidden truths buried in our difficult emotions that can set us free to receive our greatest dreams?
Katie, this is a very, very good question, because we do have hidden truths that it's necessary that when you're dancing, then you can start maybe slow dancing with worry, and then you can get it to talk to you. And this is what you'll learn how more to do and what I'm talking about, which is in the book. The whole idea that there is a need that we have, that we are unaware of, that we've been denying ourselves, and we've been listening to the voice of reason and resistance to why we shouldn't want or need what we need.
Yeah.
And which is just a defense mechanism. And unless and not and until we can have that conversation and listen, not tell, because it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And it will tell us what it is that we need, that we've been denying ourselves. And that's probably how people treat us on the outside. I don't know why they don't appreciate me more. Oh, I see.
Yeah. And, well, I'm going to open up the call. And just while I'm doing that, and people are thinking maybe of their questions, you do have a process, which is that you've been explaining, alchemy of the shadow, and you were talking about it being first awareness, and then acceptance. And then maybe you could just actually tell us the rest of the steps very quickly. And while you're doing that, anybody who wants to put up their hand can do that. I'm going to and Q&A mode. And if you want to, if people want to actually raise their hands, it's star 6, and I'll see it, and I'll unmute you after Judy has answered the question of what are the other steps of her process.
Well, the actual transformation process itself is, yes, you have to become aware. Second, the golden key is that you need acceptance. And I'm going to give the second golden key away here, and that is forgiveness.
Okay.
So that can be a loaded word right there. And so that's why acceptance comes first, because then you'll understand how important it is to forgive yourself, because it's a way to stop blaming. Because blame is still a part of the fighter energy.
Okay.
Blame is still part of the fighter energy. So by forgiveness, by going through forgiveness for yourself or for others, because people might show up outside of you in which are very difficult to forgive. We all experience betrayals in our life. We've all experienced people not meeting our expectations. I mean, this list could go on, and I have yet to meet anybody for whom that is not true. And I'm at the top of that list, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered, and it was, you know, I found how profound it was that once I was able to forgive myself and the people in my life that I had been exposed to and had had my trauma experiences with, everything changed. And so that in answer to your question, Katie, about the process of alchemy of the shadow, you know, the important thing there is that I find it very, very important to first state the desire that one is wanting. So whatever that looks like, I have a desire to have health and to be a healthy weight and to have vitality and aliveness, or I have a desire to have my bank account be bubbling over with plenty of reserves, and I make six figures, and I do it joyfully, and, you know, really specific desires. And truthfully, the more specific we are in our desire, the more resistance we'll bring up. So I talk about that in the book, how to ease into that. And right away, you'll notice that there will be a yeah, but. I have a course that I teach people, and I invite them, because it's right there. I mean, if you can just think about it, well, yeah, but what if? Well, yeah, but. And
yeah, but.
Kind of, that's what mine always sounded like anyway. And then you can begin to sense the emotion that shows up. It'll be fear or anxiety or worry or doubt, or it'll have anger, something is going to show up. And that's where the process really gets started. And through this process, you actually have a conversation with that particular emotion. And you ask these questions of, you know, you listen, what is it that you believe? What is it that you need? You listen to what comes up, and it will. Something will come forth. It will, as long as you are a safe listener. If you can't slow dance with your shadow and love it, it won't talk to you.
I love that.
And would we, I mean, if somebody started stomping all over our toes and we start dancing with them, are we going to want to have a conversation with them? I don't know. You must be a safe dance partner, Katie.
Yes, that's a good one. Yes.
And when this is all happening, and it's a very organic process, by the way.
Yeah.
It's very organic. It'll flow. You'll notice when you're in the midst of doing it, it just flows. And you're going to be filled with an amazing amount of appreciation and gratitude, because your resistance will be melted. You're in essence going to start having clarity. You're going to feel extremely It depends what it is, I think. But
yeah.
I'm always blessed with confidence, just a real centered kind of confidence. Doubt is gone.
Okay.
Imagine
what's
that.
Behind your book? Its title.
I'm sorry, Katie, go ahead.
Oh, well, there's a couple of people with questions, but I would love you to just finish off that thought of your process or a couple of thoughts, and then we will take the questions.
I think it's important, I just want to briefly mention that what happens is that doing this process brings us to a state of choice, and that's an odd way to speak about choosing, it isn't a choice. It's a state of choice in which we're free. And that's where we get to choose what kind of power we really want. We either use divine, creative power, or we use frenzy power. It's a choice.
I love that. Divine power or frenzy power? That is a good question to ask ourselves on a daily basis when we're doing our, you know, heart-based business. Am I using divine power or frenzy power?
I think that's worthy of a 3x5 card right in the middle of our desk. You, Katie?
Exactly. So just to recap, so there's a state of choice of what you can use. And then do you have any other final statement around this process of alchemy of the shadow?
You know, it's the best news because there's where you start the creation moving toward what you want. That's when the visualizations are powerful. That's when the declarations have that potent divine energy in them. That's where the magic and the miracles happen for the manifestations.
And it's a state of non-attachment in many ways that they talk about, too, because
there is
you're frenzy, you're trying to force it. You're trying to control it and do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got to stop asking you more questions. I'm going to first take I have somebody, let me see, first of all, who's 720-350, and I won't say anything else. I've just opened up your line, who has a question. So if you would like to say something, that would be great.
Hi, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Sarah. Judy, I was in Financial Alchemy.
Oh, Sarah.
Hello. I am so happy I'm on this call and to hear what you're sharing, because I feel like in spite of all the work I've done, I am exactly in the place of being ripe for this work with the shadow, because I've been in the frenzy. I've come up against it so many times, and I feel like I'm just stuck. Mm. And I can't quite, at this place where I'm not quite going through something. And so I just want to say thank you, Katie, for this call, and for Judy for what the work you've been doing and what you're sharing, because I feel like my body's just vibrating with, wow, I haven't been willing to go to that place I haven't been willing to go to. So I don't know so much if I have a question, because I'm just taking all this in, but just thank you. And, you know, for me it is the financial piece. And I've just recently put something out about creating a pilgrimage for people to join me on, and I'm noticing I'm just kind of going sideways with it. And I'm scared. I'm really scared.
Yeah. Well, you're up leveling, Sarah. It's so great to hello. It's so great.
Hi.
To have you here. Wow, this is super, 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 super. This is so exciting because you're up leveling. You know, any time we do that, that resistance just shows up. It's natural, and it's a testament to what you're up to. And I just want to celebrate that for you. And I want to acknowledge it, and I want to champion the desire that is within you. And I think that the result of that desire has brought you to this call today and to reunited us back together again. And I do hope I do hope that you get a copy of this book, because it's just going to, it's going to make the difference for you. I know it will. And congratulations on all of your endeavors.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I was hoping that, is there going to be an offering of the book at the end of the call? Or, so I was Googling stuff and found it on Amazon, but I don't know if there's a way to get it through this. But I just am really excited to be here. It feels like the three of us being together again.
Oh, just a clue to people. When I talked about my first meeting with Judy, the other person was Sarah, who's just talking now. I didn't refer to her by name in the interest of, and that she wasn't there. So we just hit it off years ago, and it's so lovely to have you back on the call and have all of us three here. That's a real lovely synchronicity. And Judy, the thing about the book, actually, that was a question I was going to ask you later about how they can learn more about your book and your services. And so maybe you can just start by telling them how they can find your book.
Oh, yes, let's do that. I have a couple of places. You can go directly on Amazon. The book is available in paperback, and it's also available on Kindle. And you can also go to my website for the book, which is www.beyondyourshadowsofdoubt.com, beyondyourshadowsofdoubt.com. And why it's a good idea for everybody to visit that website is because, first of all, you can access Amazon and purchase the book on my website easily. I have created a guided meditation, and it's audio. It's beautiful music. It's just for those of you who love beautiful, deep guided meditations, this is it. And it's called Connecting with Spirit. And actually what it is, Katie, is chapter 15 in the book. And I know my project manager said, Judy, this has got to be an audio. This has got to be an audio. And I took her seriously, and I created one. And what this will do is I'm going to give you the code, the registration code, today before this call is over, so that you can just put the code in your name and email address, and you will have instant access to an MP3 download. It's a 20-minute guided visual meditation, and it takes you through this healing journey in this process, and you ultimately end up into that state of choice of connecting with spirit. So it's a very healing guided meditation, and so I'm offering that to everybody that they can access that. It was a way for people to register their book because I am creating a group of people who ascribe to the book, who've read the book, and who are really into this type of work. And I'm going to be providing complimentary teleclasses once a month for everyone who is signing up to get this audio. So that's what's to come in the future as well. So I'll be doing a once a month complimentary telecall for everyone who is on that particular list who's downloaded the audio.
That sounds like an amazing offering. Wow. And further telecalls. Well, I've got two more questions here. Oh, Sarah, did you have anything else before I cut you off here?
No, I'm already on Judy's website getting ready to register. I'm just feeling really blessed to have gotten invited to this call, and it just feels really, really right to be here. So thank you, sisters.
Yeah, beautiful. And, I mean, Sarah does extraordinary work with pilgrimages, and that you're moving out even more into the world with that. Wow, I'm so excited. Okay, so I'm going to open up for it's Judith. Judith, you have a question.
Yeah, it's not so much a question. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I think your analogy of the dancing with a shadow is really inspiring and very unique and creative, and I love it. I've been doing a lot of shadow work with Marie von Franz. I don't know if you know about her fairy tale books. and Fairy Tales and Shadows. Are you familiar with her?
I'm not. I don't know. Katie, you might be.
Actually, I was thinking I should look it up because I'm doing fairy tales, but I hadn't heard of that. What's her name again?
Marie Von, V is in Victory, O, N is in Nancy, Franz, S is in Frank, R, A, N, Z.
Yes, I've heard of her before.
Yeah,
I haven't read that, but that would be great.
She was a student of Jung, and his work on the, you know, manifesting your inner self and all that has been very inspiring to me, and I've been journaling a lot to my archetypes. And the idea of, I have three or four different archetypes that I journal with, and I love the idea of being able to dance with them, because we always get to some kind of a wonderful solution. It's that inner wisdom that we all have, but I've never thought about actually doing something physical with them. So thank you for that. I'm going to put it into action.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. Judith? I mean, Judy and Judith, I'm getting you both mixed up. I'm sorry. Although you probably, your original name is Judith, but I know you go by Judy most of the time.
So. Actually, my original name is Judy, so that's...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So did you want to say anything more about Judith said, Judy?
To Judy.
You know, I think any time we add the body into the work that we do, it's such a shortcut, really. And even though I was at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was doing it in my mind, our mind doesn't know the difference if we're imagining it or if it's real.
Right.
And so this can be done in your mind as easily as that. You can just literally get up and make the motion of the energy of what that dance would look like. And by mirroring that dance back, you're already in that mode of acceptance.
Yeah, I understand that because I do a lot of rituals, and I know that when you make the rituals in the material world, it anchors them. And
yes.
So we have to always, we can't just be in our spirit all the time. We also have to act in the material. So, yeah, that's great. I do get up at 3 in the morning. The hour, it's a Chinese hour of the tiger. And so I'm going to definitely get up and put on some smooth music and see what comes out.
Excellent. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judith. And now I have one question from Mary Blake. Oops,
Hello.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mention your last name. But anyway, Mary.
Hi. Yeah, that's okay. Hi. Judy and Katie, thank you for hosting this today. It happens to be a perfect time for me to be able to ask my question. And what's been happening lately for me is I've become more and more willing to share who I am. And it's a process for me because I think about 20 years ago, I went through some big changes that began with an inner awareness of a wisdom, a spirituality, almost a magical way that I had since I was very young that I didn't know wasn't the way everyone else live. And as I started to be more of who I am and create with that, my work has been primarily for me, just like you, Judy, my area of greatest success and not my relationships. And I've also had this really traumatic fear of sacrificing my family for my gifts, in other words, being having my children taken away from me, et cetera, because the gifts really are special when I work with clients and I can intuit and I can feel things that I can anticipate because of my sensitivity. So I call myself a sensitive now. I call myself a healing artist, but I'm from a very traditional background of Western medicine, and now I'm really finding out that I'm able to connect much bigger and more expansively. So in the last 7 years, my whole life has changed, which is quite amazing. Actually, 7 years ago, this month. It might have even been to the day. And I have the week off this week. And all these synchronicities are really rising up and coming forward for me after a lot of deep inner work with the shadow, deep loss and grief and trauma, and things that I now see became portals for me to actually bring the work more clearly into my body and live it as if it's my own, not just something I'm reading about or hearing about. So I'm on this threshold now of sharing who I really, truly am inside. Hello?
Yes.
And
that's beautiful. Judy, you're there, aren't you? Yes.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
We're listening to you very deeply.
And one of the biggest fears I've had was rejection. And it was really of those gifts of being accepted or thinking that I needed acceptance and approval. And I never got that. I got a lot worse than that, given that when I shared ideas, I came from a fearful family. And I was in a fearful relationship. And I was the more I became my own, the more my life came apart. So it's really now starting to be my life, and for me to be able to come forward and weave together this process for me is quite exciting. And I'm on this threshold where I'm allowing what's to come forward to really come forward and asking for what I guess my question. It's a question, and it's a question that can stay a question, but maybe you can help me with this. I've juggled a lot so that I can financially support my needs, take care of my children. I have a new relationship. What is it now that I've rebuilt this so that it's sustainable that I know that needs to be let go of, given that I now feel ready for something more? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a draw now for me to not stay so comfortable after what I've worked with within me.
Judy.
Yes, and I thank you for Mary, right?
It's right. Yes.
For what you've shared and your willingness to be vulnerable, and I think you've given yourself an opportunity to be yourself in a public forum, and so I want to commend you for that. And I think it's exciting. It's an exciting time for you because you're feeling restless in your soul, and you know that a new desire is emerging. And at least I think that's what I'm gathering from what you've been saying. And you recognize that you're very comfortable, and you can feel something is in transition. This is a wonderful time to discover what might be ready to emerge. And I would invite you, Mary, and anyone else who is going through this kind of an experience, to allow your desires to really be valid and to give yourself permission to say, what is it that I just really want? What is it that I just really want? And to encourage a desire to come forth, because in the statement of the desire, anything that is unlike its essence will show up for you, and it will be in a very visceral, in a very clear way. I heard in your speaking, Mary, the yow buts that you have about being successful, doing the work in the world that allows you to bring your gifts to people in a very special and unique way. And the yow but, I need time for my family. Yeah, but what if I have to let go of this? And yeah, and I started sensing the yow but from the shadow, and maybe some doubt and some reluctance to move into that. So my invitation to you would be, and I hope I'm addressing what your question is to just really allow yourself, give yourself permission to dream a bit and to go into kind of a what if, what might be possible kind of place for you, and what's in your heart, what's What do you really want to be up to, Mary? What do you really want to be up to? And you will be inviting the shadow forth when you do that. So not to worry. It will be there.
Okay, good.
And what I heard a little bit, too, is that there's stuff from your past that it's still kind of tugging at you, where it's not safe to be really out in the open. And I mean, certainly in my experience with working with people, there's a lot of stuff there about healers and intuitives getting out in the world, you know, fears, and even ones that are ancestral, going back to the witch hunts and all those kinds of things. So it just sounds as though, as well as just recognizing the desires that are coming up, that it's the time to see those fears, face those fears, and let them go too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. Yeah.
So, anything else, Mary? Or we're going to, I think we're going to go towards the wrap-up now.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful. All right.
Thank you. That was a wonderful question. So I'm just going to actually put us on so that we can, we're talking again, and I think I've got the main questions, wonderful questions we've had. And just in wrapping up, actually, I know there were a couple of questions that I still had here, and I'm wondering maybe if you can answer them rather quickly or indicate perhaps where we can find out more. And that is, how can we powerfully influence the internal part of us that says no to our desires, and at the same time, how can we become more fully aligned with our authentic creative expression and say yes to our deep desires? So it's like, how can we kind of get through that, get through the resistance that to our deepest desires and become more fully aligned with that place that will give us those desires?
Yes, that's right. And I think we've been talking, weaving with these questions throughout
Yes.
our whole time here together today, Katie. And I think just this whole idea of practicing, we have to do the work, you know.
Yes.
We have to do the work. Resistance will want us to buy the book or listen to the audio or gather up all the other informative kinds of things from all over the place and make us think that we are working toward doing this inner work. And that's resistance way of keeping us where we are. So I encourage people we have to practice this. We have to do this. And we have to do it regularly. It can't just be, it's not an event. It's a daily practice. I call it a spiritual practice, actually.
Mm.
It's my spiritual practice, live and in action, practically speaking, in my daily life, in my daily personal life, in my daily business life. And I invite people to look at this kind of work like that. And when you do, it will allow your dreams, your desires, you'll be able to align and have more clarity with them when you can feel comfortable that you are easily able to ascend beyond your shadows, like they disappear. I mean, imagine what that's like. If you've got this amazing way of working with yourself, and these things they just disappear. We don't have to get rid of them, because any attempt to try to get rid of them is going to put us back in the fight, right? So trust and know, and you have to have the experience. And dancing with the shadow is a great way to answer that question, how can we powerfully influence that internal part of us? Because, again, if we're going to judge what we find, and we're going to call it wrong or bad, or we're going to should on ourselves, that's like stomping on the toes of your dancing partner.
Mm.
You will not probably have anybody want to dance with you if you stomp on their toes.
Yeah.
So I think if we just embrace that metaphor and remember when we're going inside and we're going to make these discoveries, we can't find this in a book. We can allow Alchemy of the Shadow to help guide, and it's a light. But you have to be the one to do the work.
Yeah.
And if you just remember, dance with it, don't stomp on the feet.
love that. So this is just been fascinating, Judy, having you share your journey. And in fact, okay, just one little extra question or thing to note. You talked earlier in the interview about being so frustrated because you were initially good in business, but you never could get the relationship that you wanted. And I think you managed to change that and turn that around very well. So maybe you could just mention that and a couple of the other things that you've been able to turn around through this process.
I think, and particularly, Katie, we were excited to do this call
mm-hmm.
today because it was right up on top of Valentine's Day.
Yes, exactly.
And I spent 5 Valentine's Day just miserable and suffering.
Mm.
And I'm happy to say that I'm having my 22nd Valentine's Day, that's 22 years, with my soulmate husband, who does love and adore me and support me. I love and adore him. And we have a blend. Well, I talk about it in the epilogue of the book, so I won't say any more.
Yes. This makes me have goose pimples when I listen to that, the way you describe it. Yes.
I have attended many a marriage of clients that I've worked with over the years that I have helped to turn this around. And it's a very exciting thing.
Mm.
It feels like the midwife is at the christening or something.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, beautiful. That's a beautiful way to bring completion to our call and link it to the days that come up. And perhaps the biggest thing of self-love that we can do is actually dance with our shadow on Valentine's Day, as well as, you know, buy ourselves chocolate or whatever, or be with the one we love.
I'd like to share the code.
Yes, please. And just tell the listeners about how they can learn more about your book and your services. And something that I'd like to say is that if, Judy, you send that to me, I'll also send it out in my mailing for the replay. But it would be very good if you could also mention it right now.
Excellent. Thank you, Katie. So the website to learn more about the book, and I actually have a little video on there. You can kind of get a sense of me, and I talk a little bit briefly, and is www.beyondyourshadows.com. beyondyourshadowsofdoubt.com. And the code, when you get there, there's an opt-in box right there. You put in your name and your email address and the registration code for the book, the name Sherry. S-H-E-R-I.
Mm.
That's my oldest daughter's name. That's that's the answer to the question that I ask is, what is the first name of the person that I've dedicated the book to? And my 2 daughters, plus my husband, are who I've dedicated my book to. So the answer to that code, the registration code, is Sherry, S-H-E-R-I.
Wonderful. Well, and so thank you so much, Judy. And once again, it's beyondyourshadowofadoubt.com. And also for help in developing your creative passions and innovative projects for social change while creating an outside-the-box sustainable lifestyle, you can check out my website and programs at www.katiecurtin.com. And once again, to our audience, thank you for sharing all your amazing questions and coming here and taking some time out of your valuable time out of the day. I hope it's been more than worth it. In fact, I'm pretty sure. But and thank you once again, Judy. It's just been such a pleasure, and I've learned so much through this as well.
Thank you so much, Katie. And it was just, I knew we would just have an absolute blast and a great time, and I want to thank the audience as well for being open to this information, and I encourage everyone to take advantage of the audio and to get the book.
Yes, it's a great book, and it's a great read. It's not a boring book at all around what you should do. It's absolutely, you know, you'll just keep reading, and it's beautiful examples of manifesting and also of how to dance with the shadow. So bye, everybody.